Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Jason Rodrigo Jaimez Rincon, a man who's been living in Chicago with his family, has been deported to the Terrorism Confinement Center in El Salvador, also known as CICAT. Jaimez Rincon is one of more than 200 Venezuelans who've been deported to El Salvador, a country they're obviously not from. And the Trump administration's relying on some very old legislation to back up these actions. To fill us in on the details, I spoke with Adriana Cardona Magigad, WBEZ's immigration reporter. She began with Jaimez Rincon's story.
Yeah, so Jaimez Rincon is a Venezuelan man. He's 29. He was living here in Chicago with his partner, but he was under ICE supervision. He had an ankle monitor. And on January 31st, he went to the local immigration office to get his battery checked. He was running out of battery. And he was arrested there and detained. And then on March 15, his partner says he was deported to El Salvador with, you know, with a couple of other 100 men. She knew this because she first saw him, his name listed on a list published by CBS News. Mm-hmm. She just got so worried. She frantically started searching for other news about him. And then she saw him on a video posted online that showed the U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, touring the prison where they were sent in El Salvador. The partner says, and, you know, she saw him right there, like in front of.
That's how she got her confirmation, first hearing on the news and then seeing a video online?
Yeah, first seeing his full name and then seeing him like right there on a video.
Wow, that's tough. Now, you've got some tape for us of your conversation with her. Let's play a little bit of that.
She says that this has taken a huge emotional toll on her. She's sobbing. I mean, we can really hear her there, like, crying. She can barely speak. Yeah. And she's pretty much saying, like, the emotional damage. And, you know, that before, when he was detained here in the U.S., before he was sent on March 15, they communicated via, you know, phone, video calls. But now is this uncertainty. She doesn't know where he is, how he is, how is he eating, is he not? Like, you know, she can't really offer any encouragement at this point.
Yeah, I can imagine. And as you write in your story, Adriana, he's one of 238 Venezuelans who've been deported. Why is this happening?
Yeah, so pretty much the Trump administration has alleged that the migrants deported to El Salvador are a threat to national security and that they have ties to dangerous gangs that are invading the U.S. This is kind of like part of a larger crackdown to you know, like just to send immigrants and migrants back and crack down on immigration. So these migrants were sent to this mega prison in El Salvador, the Terrorism Confinement Center, or
CICAT.
And
it's notorious for being a pretty bad place.
Yeah, there's definitely, human rights advocates have definitely serious concerns about that. And yeah, like the Trump administration is relying on this, you know, powerful wartime tool to the poor people, as I said, as part of a larger crackdown.
Right. And you talked about how they're connecting these people to gangs. But in Jaime Rincon's case, his partner says he's not connected to a gang. You also did a background check. Is that right?
Yeah, we conducted a background check and didn't find any criminal record for Jaime Rincon here in Illinois and in Texas. His asylum application was denied. He had a deportation order. And the family knew that he was going to be deported anytime, but they asked why was he sent to a maximum security prison in El Salvador. He does have tattoos, which have been kind of like at the center, too, of like this kind of situation regarding accusing men of being part of gangs based mm-hmm. on what they have. So he's got two stars on each shoulder in the name of his aunt who raised him.
His tattoos. Yeah.
Yeah, his tattoos. And a crown on his chest with his daughter's name, which signifies that, she's his queen, that's according to the partner. And, there have been reports out there from NPR that ICE officials have said that, the tattoos are not the only thing that they're relying on, making connections to gang activity. Yes.
Interesting. Doesn't sound like that's how it's been going, though. But you talk about the fact that, again, he and many of these other people, they're being deported to a country that they're not from, Adriana. How does that even work?
Yeah, in most cases, people with deportation orders are sent back to their home countries. But experts have told me that, the U.S. government has deported people to countries that are different from where the immigrants are actually from. But deporting migrants or immigrants to foreign maximum security prisons is definitely new under this new President Donald Trump administration.
Can you tell us more about what human rights groups have been saying, Adriana?
Yeah, so basically they've been saying that sending this man there without a trial or due process and in just such a secretive way is a violation of people's rights. Like I said earlier, human rights organizations have raised serious concerns about the conditions at the prison. And they've said that, people held at CICUT have been denied access to legal counsel. And they lack adequate food and healthcare as well.
Mm-hmm. While you're here, I wonder if you have any more information on Kilmar Abrego Garcia, who's from Maryland, but we've been talking a lot about his case, which was very similar, being deported to El Salvador. Now, that has since been deemed an administrative error from the Trump administration. So is he back? Is he still being held in El Salvador? What's going on?
So, yeah, that was deemed as an administrative error, but according to news reports and the Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen, he was at CICUT, but then now he's apparently sent to a lower security facility in Santa Ana, El Salvador. Mm. But he was initially sent there with the other 200 and some men.
Yeah. The Trump administration is relying here on the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. It's a really outdated legislation if you really take a close look at it. But tell us more about what the act is, Adriana.
Yeah, well, it's a powerful wartime tool. The Alien Enemies Act especially allows the president to detain, relocate, or deport non-citizens from a country considered an enemy to the United States during wartime. And it has only been used about it's only been used three times before in American history.
Oh, really?
And like I said earlier, the Trump administration is relying on this act to deport these migrants as part of a larger crackdown on immigration. And, there have been multiple lawsuits as a result. In the case of Abrego Garcia, pretty much has created a constitutional standoff with the Supreme Court involved, asking the government to facilitate Abrego Garcia's return.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what precedent it sets, invoking this old wartime law, as you put it.
Yeah, well, some civil rights attorneys have said, once you start using wartime authority with no oversight, anything is possible. And in this case, experts say there isn't enough evidence out there to prove that people are actually, or like some of the men that were sent there have clear ties to terrorist gangs and a national security threat.
Yeah. I mean, you're having conversations daily with people on your beat, with immigrants. How is everyone feeling right now? It just feels like there's got to be a lot of fear and uncertainty swirling around.
Unfortunately, there is a lot of fear. I specifically talked to a lawyer who told me, I am a religious person, but I am asking or telling people, do not rely on we're praying to God to see and just to keep us protected, like asking people to assess their legal immigration status, to figure out their options, to get advice, and to act before, especially those who do not have legal status, mm-hmm. they need to act before something happens to them.
Get your paperwork in order is
exactly.
What he's saying, it sounds
yes.
like. Goodness. So could this happen again? What we're seeing happen to Jaime Rincon and Garcia and all these hundreds of men. Is it just going to continue? Is that what it looks like to you?
I mean, with the such a little oversight that we're seeing in these cases and the lack of due process, it's very concerning, and anything can happen under this administration.
Yeah. What else are you going to be keeping an eye on right now? Because things are fast moving.
At this point, yeah, we're always keeping an eye on how immigration policies under this administration are affecting people, how many more people are going to be suffering the consequences of just a broken immigration system. And I will just be paying close attention to that.
We're keeping you very busy. Adriana Cardona Magiguad is WBEZ's immigration reporter. Thank you so much for checking in with us.
Yeah, thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Ellie Gilbert Baer and edited by Dan Tucker. It was mixed by Ari Mejia. To never miss a conversation, make sure to subscribe to our podcast or visit us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for tuning in.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely